The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe and you're living life expecting something pleasant to happen when you die, please think again. It's going to be pretty darn unpleasant. And then if you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, frequently incorrectly called Jesus. To put this in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to look at The Bible is the Greatest Idol, Part 1. An overview. This broadcast examines the reality that Yah, the Almighty Creator, says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today. We look at a caution to say that this broadcast is potentially going to be shocking and offensive to some. We look at some context, and then we look at the essence of the issues relating to the Bible. We will look at positive aspects of the Bible, and we will consider a summing up regarding the Bible. Finally, we'll examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See particularly the top line of the menu for a video about relationship and an article on the miracle of the death of Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. Say again, that's www.endtimeissueministries, all one word, .org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts. Answers to questions from last week's program, number one. The question is, do you ever fear for your life speaking these truths to all? No, I don't. One of the privileges of being a servant of the Almighty is that His messengers, His angels, encamp around you to protect you, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So I have a high level of confidence that I'm safe. I had a situation many years ago where I had about 190 death curses spoken against me and 50 human sacrifices offered against me to try and destroy me. And they didn't touch me because I was free of sin. There's a key thing here. If you really are in relationship with Father and I stress and you get free of sin, which is entirely possible, then the forces of darkness can't touch you. And if they try and attack you, you can pray for curses to be returned, and they will suffer severe consequences. So no, I don't fear for my life. Thank you. Penny asks, why would he need the authority of a human to do something? Penny, that's the way he set this whole thing up. He created us for human beings to rule on earth. Adam then listened to Satan, obeyed Satan, and effectively rebelled against the Almighty and gave his authority to Satan. So the result was that Satan became the mighty one or the God of this earth, and only human beings could recover it. That's why Yeshua had to die the way that he died. Now, if one is a believer and one is free of sin, you can take authority on earth. Father can do nothing on earth by his choice, because he gave all the authority to mankind. Question three, can we really pray for something and receive it? Yes, you can. It depends what you pray for. It depends your level of anointing. It depends your level of relationship. You can't pray for $1 million and receive $1 million. I'm sure there are a lot of believers who would like that to happen. But you can pray for things to happen. I've had many, many prayers answered, all sorts of things. Question four, Ellis asks, those who get answers, does that mean they are higher to the Almighty than others? Those who get answers are those who are in reasonably close relationship with the Almighty. They can still be a long way away, but as you climb the mountain, and I've spoken on several occasions about the mountain as a metaphor for getting close to Father. So as you climb the mountain, you get closer to Father, you get to know Him more, you get to strengthen your relationship with Him, and then you tend to get more answers than people who are lower down the mountain. Think about it. If you have a really good relationship with somebody, they're going to be much more attentive to you and listen to you than if you don't have a relationship with them. How do we get them to be more than idle words? Well, you need to be careful about your choice of words. Idle words are unproductive words. So there's all sorts of words that you can speak that don't get a job of work done. And it's about being sensitized to that and being aware of it. Missy says, it used to mean something to me. Missy, I'm sad to hear that. I understand at one stage I backslid, as I said, and it didn't mean anything to me anymore. And that, in my case, was a case that I'd taken a whole lot of nonsense from the church to heart. And it was after Father spoke to me and I realized that he did care about me, that I then started to really seek to know him. And he does care about you. He wants you to come back to him, Missy. He wants you to become his friend. So I would encourage you to do that. Question 7. Why do we misdirect meaning in our words and thoughts? The reality is that we've grown up in a world that is really messed up and corrupt and all of that stuff. And so we've grown up with vocabulary and thought processes that are also messed up. And as you draw close to Father, as you seek the truth, as you deal with the issues in your life, you will find that that stops happening. Francis asks, do churches just kick people from their flock? Yes, they do. I had a situation where not only did the church kick me out, they condemned me from the pulpit, and they turned against me and helped somebody who was directly opposing me, even though I was the one who had been a loyal member of the church. If you don't want to get kicked out of church, don't share with them the sort of things that I'm teaching, because then their demons will get very angry with you. Basically, Father is saying, come out of the church. You can't really serve Father and be part of the organized religion, be it the church, the synagogue, the mosque, whatever. Question 9, do we have time to make our chances better before our life is over? Absolutely. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how close you are to the end of your life, you can turn around today. Pray the prayers that I recommend. Look at the prayers page on the website. Look at the page 7, components of drawing close to the Almighty. Pray those prayers. Do those things. And even if you die tomorrow, if you make a quality decision today and ask for forgiveness of your sins and choose to serve Father, you will be way better off than if you don't do that. So let's get to today's program. Folks, I understand that what I'm going to talk about today for some people is highly offensive. It's highly unsettling. It's really something that they can't handle. But it's the truth. So I'm going to have to share it with you, because part of the message here is, in order to draw close to Father, one needs to get free of these things. So today's message is that the Almighty says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today. He said to me when I was putting this all together, why base one's faith on a collection of document fragments that are 2,000 years old and older, when you can have a deep personal relationship with me? The fact that the Bible is not inspired, and much else about the Bible, that tiny book, as Yah refers to it, is discussed in much detail on the webpage on the Bible, and I will discuss it today and in the next few programs. Most significantly, the Almighty, Yah, the eternally self-existing, says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today. Think about it. There are billions of Bibles on earth, and people put them in all sorts of untoward, unwarranted situations. People worship the Bible. They call it the Word of God. They've built innumerable Bible schools where the Bible is taught and worshipped, together with all the false teachings relative to it. The Bible keeps people from deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, which is the fundamental reason we exist. From the human perspective, the Bible is a lengthy and difficult to understand book, made more difficult by the fact that what the Christian church, in all its diverse forms of error and deception, teaches largely does not correspond with the Bible, and therefore all sorts of obfuscations and rationalizations and illogical mental gymnastics are required to believe in the Bible as the Word of God. The same applies to much of what the Yehudite Jewish religion teaches through their worship of their version of the Bible, the so-called Old Testament. All of this leads sincere people away from Yah and leads those who do have some level of relationship with Yah and anointing with His Spirit into error and deception that allows the forces of darkness to operate in their lives largely with little restraint. See the rules of engagement for more information on the website. Yah wants a deep personal relationship with you. Nothing else is more important. And He doesn't want you to have a deep relationship with your Bible. He doesn't want you to spend hours a day reading the Bible or even hours a week reading the Bible. He doesn't want you going to Bible school. He doesn't want you going to Bible study. He wants you to take that time and devote it to Him. Why would you read, as He said at the beginning of this broadcast, why would you devote your time to a book that comprises fragments of writings 2,000 years plus old, when you can have a personal relationship with Him, when you can come to a place where you hear His voice clearly? Please think about it. That's what's important. That's what you were created for. Thus, spending uncountable hours reading and studying the Bible and going to Bible study and Bible school, etc., is counterproductive and an offense to Yah. The situation is so severe that the only way that many, in fact most believers, are able to hear Yah is if He comes down to their level and talks to them in the context of and by reference to the Bible. This creates the impression that Yah endorses the Bible and the claims made for it when, in fact, it is the only way that our loving Heavenly Father can have some level of fellowship and communion with the majority of those who are committed believers at some level. I urge you to turn your attention to the Almighty Creator. Pray the prayers that are on the prayer webpage. Get on your knees, fast and pray. Generally apply yourself to seeking to draw much closer to your Father in heaven, no matter what religious starting point you're coming from. There's a page towards the bottom of the menu on the website, 7 components of drawing close. I encourage you to go and visit that page. There's a PDF available for download off that page as well. Take it, read it, study it, put it into practice. Pray the prayers that are there. Worship with the songs that are there. Clean up. Get rid of your demons. Get rid of the spiritual contamination that you have. Clean up your vocabulary. Make right with the people you've wronged. Come to a place where you are living free of sin. Draw close to Father. Climb the mountain. Get to know Him. Get to hear Him. The reward is huge. Stop worshiping the Bible, folks. It's just so unnecessary. And then the Almighty said to me, Bible study is obsession with history, without understanding the present and the future. He also said, Bible-based belief is minimalist belief. So a cautionary, the Bible page on the website and what I'm teaching tonight. Many visitors to the web page will find the content shocking and even offensive. I do understand that what you will find here, or what you will hear here, is extremely challenging for many believers. However, it is the truth. Folks, if you come to grasp that the Almighty is eternal, that the Almighty is beyond conception, huge, that He has interacted with millions of human beings in the 6,000 plus years since creation, the creation of man, why on earth would He limit Himself to one book? Why is it that today the Bible is around the world spreading the lie that the only way you can come to know about the Almighty is through one book? Let me put that in context. I published most of my writings, as a set of 15 books last year, amounting to something of the order of 9,000 pages, many times more than the Bible. That's one person over 20 years. There are many other people who have had relationships or have relationships with Father at some level and have written books, many books, websites. There's a huge amount material about the Almighty over and above what's in the Bible. Why limit yourself? Some context. In 1993, after a dramatic encounter with the Almighty and subsequent exposure to Bible-based teaching that seemed to make sense, I took my Bible, held it up, and said something to the effect of, "Father, these people say this is your word. I do not understand it, but I choose to believe that it is your word, and I ask you to answer all my questions." In the years that followed, I read the Old Testament about 20 times in a wide variety of translations, and the New Testament about 35 times in at least as many different translations. I filled about 14 notebooks with notes during my Bible reading. For many years, I spent at least an hour a day and frequently more reading the Bible. I once read the Bible from cover to cover in about 10 days. Then, around mid-2002, Father said to me, "The Bible is not my word." I wonder if you can imagine what a jolt that was. At some level, I was sort of suspecting that already, but it was quite something, given the extent to which I had devoted time to the Bible. It took me around 2 years to internalize this to a point where I posted an article in June 2004, a reality check. Is the Bible really the inerrant word of the Almighty? It took me until around 2009 until I was prepared to write about this with confidence. And it was only in 2013 that I could hear the truth of what Yah has to say about the Bible, and I was still adjusting. Accordingly, I counsel you to listen to what follows prayerfully, not to reject it out of hand, but to go to the Almighty for confirmation. Read also, "Getting Close to Yah, Appropriate Prayer and Fasting Are Vital, The Answer to Doctrinal Differences" on the website. Use the Google search or the article search to find it, for an approach to seeking clarity on matters of teaching and doctrine. If you scan the Bible webpage from bottom to top, you will roughly follow the more recent stages of my journey of adjustment and discovery that I've followed. I pray that as you study this material, you will come to understand the truth about the book, commonly known as the Bible. So what I'm saying to you, and there's another piece that I didn't mention. When I was in my late teens, I was given a Bible and told to read it because it was the Word of God. I read the first few books, and I couldn't reconcile what they were saying with what was being taught in the church that I was going to. So I discarded the Bible as being a book of nonsense. So when I took that Bible and held it up and said, "I choose to believe this is your word," it was a major step for me. And then if you listen to the amount of time I spent reading it, to then suddenly realize that wasn't his word. I do not share with you lightly what I'm sharing with you today. In October 2013, I wrote an article, the essence of the issues relating to the Bible, which said, "The following are what I currently understand to be the issues with regard to the Bible. Number one, Yah wants relationship. Yah wants us to seek a deep personal relationship with him, not a book. He created us for relationship. Yah says that the Bible is the greatest idol on earth. People mistake Yah's grace in working with the Bible as indicating his approval. Big mistake. Point two, the Bible is the outcome of a battle between Yah and Satan that Yah lost. The Bible is the outcome of a battle between Yah and Satan through men that resulted in only one very limited collection of fragments of writings being preserved to become what we call the Bible, from biblios, the Greek word for book." Folks, that may be shocking to you that Yah lost the contest there with Satan about the Bible. The Bible is all the Father managed to preserve of writings about him and his relationship with mankind over all this time. And in that fight to preserve it, the men and women who were fighting to preserve it prayed, exercised their faith, experienced miracles. So because there were miracles involved in the preservation of those manuscripts, people started to believe that this was the Word of God. Not so. It's the scrappy remnant of the little bit that Yah managed to preserve that Satan didn't steal and destroy. Point number three. The English translations and derivatives are massively corrupt. The English translations and those derived from them are massively corrupt in terms of the use of blasphemous and corrupt names and concepts such as the Lord, capital Lord, God, Jesus, Christ, Holy, Cross, bias towards the deity of Jesus, Old Testament versus New Testament when there is no difference, false bias against Yah's form of union between man and woman, etc., etc. Much of the material on the website discusses all these things. Point four. The Bible is mostly a reasonably accurate historical account. The writings in the Bible are, for the most part, a reliable and accurate, albeit very limited, historical account as far as it goes. There are massive gaps, but it does contain some useful information about anointed servants of Father and their relationship with him at some level, and some of the things that happened. A huge amount happened that's not in the book. It's just some fragments that have been preserved. And there are other fragments in other forms and other bits and pieces of books that exist from which we can learn other things. We don't have to rely entirely on the Bible. Point five, less than 2% of the Bible is inspired. Yah says that less than 2% of the Bible is inspired. The Bible does include some passages and verses that are direct from Yah, but these are scattered amongst the other text, which is simply writings based on knowledge. Key elements of revelation are accurate. Six, the Bible is based on fragments of manuscript. The Bible is based on fragments of manuscripts preserved through persecution and neglect. Very little of the original text in the New Testament was written in Greek, and there was no control of scribal error and emendation. Much of the Old Testament was written from memory in Babylon. Seven, massive emphasis on building doctrine from the Bible leads to massive error. The massive emphasis on building doctrine from the Bible has led to what Yah calls wholesale error, and given the forces of darkness almost total freedom to mislead believers. The church is breaking all of the Ten Commandments assisted by the Bible. Folks, this is so important. There are so many topics that the Bible doesn't discuss at all, and so many others that it just discusses in passing in a very superficial fashion. And yet believers, specifically Christians, and to a lesser extent Jews, have built whole bodies of doctrine, of teaching, based on this fragmentary information, claiming that they've been taught by Father, which in some cases is true, and in some cases it's just pure invention. So there's a huge amount of so-called Bible-based teaching that's just downright false. Point number 8. Yah hates the Bible because it leads men away from him. Yah hates the Bible because it is Satan's way of forcing Yah to interact with nearly all Christian believers on Satan's terms. Satan hates it for the limited truth it does contain, and that Yah is able to lead some people to deep relationship with himself through it. Fundamentally, Yah wants relationship, a deep personal relationship with every single person, and the Bible gets in the way of that. Folks, I'm hoping that as you listen to me, if the Bible has played any role in your life, if you consider it to be something important and significant, you're starting to grasp what I'm saying. Father did not create us to spend huge amounts of time reading the Bible, studying the Bible, going to courses in the Bible, going to Bible studies, going to Bible schools. If you are a person who has attached some significance to the Bible, if you add up all the hours and hours and hours that you have spent on Bible-related things, as opposed to getting on your knees, praying, fasting, worshiping, seeking to get close to Father, I think you will be shocked at where you could be in your relationship if you took all the time that you've invested in the Bible and invested that in seeking a deep relationship with Father. You would be really close to Father in many cases. Another article that I wrote in October 2013, Positive Aspects of the Bible. The previous article that I've just read to you focused heavily on the weaknesses and negative aspects of the Bible. This article lists what is positive about it. So number one, most of the book is reasonably accurate historically. Most of the Bible is a factual and reasonably accurate historical account of Yah's interaction with men, from which we can derive significant learning if we turn to Yah to answer our questions and interpret. So it is true that if you read from Genesis to Revelation once or twice, you will encounter a whole lot of men and women who were anointed believers or committed believers, some of whom had significant miracles performed through them, some of them made significant sacrifices, some of them were persecuted and treated badly. And if you go to the book and from a basis of taking what you read and saying, Father, please help me to understand this, please explain this to me, you can learn a lot from the Bible. But there's a limit to what you can learn from the Bible, because the Bible is actually a very limited book. Most of the Bible is simply straightforward historical account of people who were close to Father and people who were not so close to Father. There's a point at which you have to move on. I only really started to grow in my relationship with Father when I stopped reading the Bible. Point number two, the fundamental commandments are accurately recorded. So the fundamental laws in the form of the so-called Ten Commandments are accurately recorded in the Bible, although you will notice that the two different accounts, which supposedly both give a verbatim record of what was said, do not agree on exactly what was said. The fundamentals are the same, but the details are not. Point number three, basic application of the commandments is addressed to a point. The basic interpretation and application of the commandments is demonstrated to a point if we turn to Yah to answer our questions and interpret. And again, realize here that there's a limitation. There's a huge body of writing in the Jewish Judaic tradition, some of which is accurate and much of which is not. There's so much reliance on some other human being to have a relationship with Father, because somehow we don't think that we personally can have a relationship with him. And it's just not true. Father wants a relationship with each one of us. He doesn't want you to have a vicarious relationship with him through your rabbi or your imam or your priest or your pastor or whatever. Number four, the Bible contains various principles at a headline level. Various principles relating to being in relationship with Yah are demonstrated and discussed at a headline level. Again, subject to turning to Yah for detailed understanding and application. Five, some limited inspired sections. There are some limited inspired passages, sometimes single verses, albeit frequently badly translated, which do provide a foundation for Yah to build on. Primarily some of Proverbs, some elements of historical accounts both relating to Yeshua and pre-Yeshua and post-Yeshua, particularly by Shaul, Paul, and parts of Revelation. Six, some statements of Yah's plans, so-called prophecy. Some statements of Yah's plans and intent by his spokesmen and women, prophets, prophetesses, generally at a sketchy level, so that your servants in later generation have some limited guidance as to what to pray and intercede for. Most important in this generation are elements of revelation. It's important to understand, folks, that this thing that's called prophecy is instructions for the prophets. It's not foretelling. The things come to pass because in their time, a believer with a relationship with Father praise them into existence. Remember, Father can do nothing on earth unless a human being prays it into existence. Point number seven, all of this is compromised. All of this is colored and influenced by the factors discussed in the previous article. So while it's a useful basis for seeking Yah for clarification, the Bible is not a basis for in-depth intellectual analysis without the Spirit of Yah. It is also wide open for demonic interference colored by the worldly context that totally corrupts the fundamentals and detracts from deep knowledge of Yah, such that a few draw closer to Yah and the majority worship the book or walk away. Point number eight, Satan does hate it because it contains remnants of the truth. The forces of darkness do hate the Bible because it does contain accurate history and facts about Yah and some inspired words, and Yah has managed to work through it to a point. I'm an example of that. Remember that the goal of the forces of darkness is to utterly defeat Yah on earth, but that does not validate it as the word of God or the word of Yah. Read prayerfully and in different translations, there is much to learn. Read prayerfully, there's much to learn from the Bible as a stepping stone, but it must be read in close consultation with Yah and with openness to finding error, particularly in the English and other translations derived from or informed by the English versions. I recommend the scriptures from the Institute of Bible Research, the Living Torah by Ariel Kaplan, and the Amplified Bible published by Zondervan, all available on Amazon. In particular, although they all contain substantial errors, there are many thousands of pages on the website. given by Yah at various levels that enable those who study them to learn much about the things of Yah. So you have the paradox. On the one hand, Satan hates the Bible. On the other hand, Satan and the satanic and demonic realm have used the Bible to great effect to lead people away from Father. So at some level, Father, for example, at the time of Martin Luther, the availability of the Bible made a huge impact on turning people back to Father. But it's now served its purpose. There's much written about Father that's available. It's much on the internet. The Bible is now no longer nearly as significant as it was a few hundred years ago. Summing up regarding the Bible, I was asked by someone to sum up my understanding with regard to the book commonly referred to as the Bible. The following is a reasonably comprehensive summary of the headline points regarding the Bible, which will be discussed in greater detail in broadcasts that follow. Number one, Bible is not a magic word. Bible is derived from the Greek biblios, which means a book, and is related to Byblos, which was a major center of papyrus manufacture. So the word Bible has no significance at all. It just means book. Assigning special meaning to the book massively distracts people from serving Yah in person. Two, the Bible does not claim to be the word of Yah, and it does not claim to be without error. Nowhere in the Bible does any author, let alone all authors, claim that the Bible is given by Yah. Even in the preamble to the average Bible, no such claim is made. Furthermore, no claims are made in the book regarding it being without error. The word of Yah and without error are both massively distract people and are false. Folks, this is so, so important. If you are in the habit of opening your Bible and going to the first verse that meets your eye and expecting some miraculous guidance from it, it's witchcraft. Please don't do it. There's so much wrong thinking about the Bible. Point three. It is highly unlikely that the Bible is the living word of Yah. The living word of Yah implies an extremely high level of anointing of the authors and therefore infilling of the spirit of Yah. For it to be the living word of Yah, the entire book would have to be written by people with this very high level of infilling of the spirit of Yah. There's no indication in any of the writings that the people who made these records were at this level of infilling at the time they wrote. And in my personal experience, Yah does not give that level of anointing for general documentation purposes. He desires us to apply our minds and our intellect. So generally, it is unlikely that Yah would dictate these exact pages, and most of them are not worded in such a way as to suggest that they are direct dictation from Yah. The living word of Yah ascribes a level of anointing to the writers that is completely unjustified and again distracts others from seeking to know Yah deeply. Folks, if you've been listening to this program for a while, I hope you've registered that my message is, do not look to anyone else to be your surrogate or proxy in your relationship with the Creator. You form a relationship yourself. You do the hard yards. You do the fasting. You do the praying. You do the worshiping. You do whatever it takes to get into a deep relationship with Father, and then you will qualify to sit on a high throne with Him for eternity. That's what you were created for. That's why you're here. Nothing else matters. I'll continue with this in the next broadcast. I'd like to start wrapping up and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you? And allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is so, so important. He didn't create you to go and sit in a church pew and listen to somebody else teach you. Sure, the first few months, maybe the first year or two after you come to believe, that's valid. But he wants you to get to a place where you can hear him, where he can tell you what to read and what not to read, where he can answer your questions and he can guide you. He wants to do that for every human being on the planet today. And if you understand what I'm saying, if you understand the huge reward that's available to you, I have to ask you, why would you not go for it? Why would you not seek to become his friend? Or at least to become a good and faithful servant or an overcomer. He wants you to do that, folks. So in closing, some key documents and a video on the main menu webpage. Video at the top of the menu, why seek relationship most important. This is the most important message I've ever created. Please log on there and watch that video. Then the miracle of Yahushua's death, really important to understand some key things I taught on this a few weeks ago. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? The essence of my message to Christians. All of those articles on the main menu as individual web pages that you can click on and go and read. Strongly recommended. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. And recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and then podcasts in the drop-down. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search in the top bar and also in the right-hand sidebar will give you full Google search functionality on the whole website. So if there's anything you're looking for, if it's covered on the website, that will find it. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, you can become a friend of the Almighty Creator. irrespective of your age, your gender, your wealth or lack of wealth, your education or lack of education, your race, your religion right now, color of your skin, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, none of that matters. Father wants a deep relationship with you, and you are eligible. No matter where you are right now, no matter what sin you're in, no matter what corruption you're in, Father will forgive your sins. He will make you a way to get through it and get close to Him. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I